So if you could turn your Bible to John chapter 5. Our sermon today is titled, Do You Want to Get Well? In John chapter 5, Jesus asks a man a very strange question. In verse 1 it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there was in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" This is the last question I would think of asking a man who's been an invalid for 38 years. It's almost disturbing to me to ask a question like that to a man in this condition. But did Jesus see something in this man's character that I don't see? And is Jesus speaking only to this man in his broken condition? Or does he speak also to us? Does he ask us if we want to get well? This morning we're going to try to answer some of these questions in our sermon. But more importantly, we're going to take a closer look at the power each one of us has to change our destiny. But before we get into our sermon, we want to take a few moments to honor some women from our Total Recovery Ministry who have had the courage to change their destiny. These women have completed our TR program, and we want to honor them this morning, and we want to celebrate their victory. So I'm going to have Uriel Edwards and Maria Almonte come on up and share a little bit more. Thank you, Lachey. Let's give it up for all of these awesome women who have graduated. Congratulations. Amen. So encouraging to see God working in the lives of these women. So let's get back to our story in John chapter 5. So when Jesus sees this man lying near the sheep gate, and he learns about his condition, he asks him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," in verse 7, the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. As I said earlier, I would not ask a man in this condition if he wants to get well. I would naturally assume that a man who has been an invalid for 30 years, that he would want to get out of this situation. But Jesus does not make that assumption. Jesus wants to hear from this man's own mouth, what do you want to do? Because sometimes people are in situations or may find themselves in situations or may be involved in self-destructive behavior that they've simply accepted and have convinced themselves, this is going to be my life. And the one thing I understand about Jesus is that he will not force you to do something you don't want to do. Jesus is not here to dictate your life for you. And in the case of this man, he wanted to find out, what do you want to do in this situation that you're in? Do you want to get well? If you put a doctor in this man's presence, that doctor would immediately seek a medical answer. Is there any medication we can give this man to alleviate his pain? Is there an operation that can be performed to make him well? If a psychiatrist met this man, the psychiatrist would delve deeply into his past and examine this man's history. The psychiatrist would question, what were the factors that led up to him being in this situation? How did his parents treat him? And where in the world are his family? The psychiatrist would address this man's feeling of abandonment. If you put an activist at the pool, the activist would start a movement. He or she would call out and say, look at this man! What are the Pharisees doing? What's the Roman government doing? Let's organize a protest. These people should not be here. But Jesus does not take the approach of the doctor, the psychiatrist, or the activist. He takes none of these approaches. Instead, he speaks to the individual. What do you want? Because Jesus understands that in spite of this man's physical infirmities, his mind is lucid. He is able to communicate. He is able to understand his situation. And Jesus understands that this man was made in the image of God. And as such, he was his own free moral agent, capable of making his own decision. That's why Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? We learn a lot from this man by the way he answers. What does he tell Jesus? Sir, I have no one to help me in the pool where the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And if you pay careful attention to his answer, and you meditate on his answer over and over again, you get to see what is in this man's heart. Have you heard it? No one's here to help me. What does this answer sound like to you? What it sounds like to me is this man has reasoned that someone else is responsible for his destiny.
Somebody else has decided that he will remain in this condition. This man perceives himself to be powerless, helpless, unable to change his situation. This is essentially at the core of what is commonly known as a victim mindset. A victim mindset is one where you believe that the course of your life is in the hands of someone else. That the circumstances are so intense that you have absolutely no bearing on the situation that you are in. That is a victim mindset. And that is a mindset that this man certainly had. And indeed, it's a mindset that anybody in this room can embrace. We've got to ask ourselves, am I in a situation right now where I feel it is beyond my ability to control? Am I involved in a behavior that makes me feel so ashamed and so guilty? But I can't control it. Am I involved in a relationship right now that bothers me, it disturbs me, but I can't get out of it? That I'm in some sort of invisible prison. This is a mindset that any human being can have. And I believe that Jesus doesn't just speak to this man. He speaks to us all. He speaks to all mankind. And he asks the question, do you want to get well? And this is the issue, the pervasive issue that every human being must ask of themselves. Do I want to get well? Do I desire a better path for my own life? Do I desire a better future? Man, I can't change my past, but I certainly can change my future. What do you desire deep within your heart? Jesus asked this question because he understood that man, as amazing as man can be with all his physical attributes and the qualities of his intellect, that mankind, each man, each woman, each human being, has to struggle with their own sinful nature. No matter how good looking you are, and some of you looking real good from up here, no matter how educated you are, and we have people who can plaster their walls with their academic credentials. No matter how much money you may have in your bank account, or how talented you may be, you have a sinful nature. Can you accept that this morning? Do you accept that this morning? Or is that a struggle for you? Because it's easy for you to point out other people's sinful nature, isn't it? But it's hard to recognize you got one too. See, Jesus understood this about the human nature, that we all have the capacity to do evil. No matter how well-intentioned we are, we all have a tremendous capacity to do evil. And look at what it says in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, look at
Look at what James says in verse 13. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. If you want to understand how the sinful nature operates, take this scripture and memorize it, these few verses. Write it on your mirror when you're looking at yourself. Put it on a 3x5 card and look at it as you take the train. Because this scripture has taught me so much about myself that I never understood. And hopefully this scripture, if you let it, it will instruct you about yourself too. And here's what it says. Don't blame God for tempting you. Don't say if God didn't do this, I wouldn't be in my situation. God cannot be tempted by evil. And it places the responsibility on the individual. Because he says, each one is tempted when, check it out, by his own evil desire. If you have a highlighter, highlight that. By his own evil desire. Did you catch that? His own personal desire. And of course, he's using the word him in a generic sense. Just because you're pretty doesn't mean you don't have a sinful nature. And by that, I'm talking to the men and the women. Men certainly do have a sinful nature, but so do women. Each one is dragged away, the Bible says, and enticed. What I see is something just happening involuntarily. You just kind of drag away and you end up in this place and you're like, how did I get here? I don't know. You've been dragged away. That's what the Bible says. You've been dragged away and enticed. And then it goes on to talk about the progression of sin. And it starts off. It's cool. It feels like you're on an adventure. Sinning, doesn't it? It's like, oh wow, I can do that. Woo! That feels great. Right? But then that desire grows. And it gives birth to sin. And then sin, it says, when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. And by death, he's talking about a sense of hopelessness. A sense that this cannot change. That's the death he's talking about. It's a death from within. It's an acceptance of failure. It's this disbelief that anything positive can happen in your life. Or that you can make a positive change in your life.
That's the death that he's talking about. This has happened to me. And if you're honest with yourself, it's happened to you too. When you end up, you're involved in a situation that you don't know how you got here. And you just are in this cycle of self-destructing behavior. And you can't get out. And Jesus asks the question, do you want to get well? This is not about your neighbor. This is not about your husband or your wife. It's not about your Bible talk or who's in your Bible talk. Do you? It's an individual decision. It is an intensely personal decision. Do you want to get well? Boy, life can be complex, can't it? And we've seen a lot of the complexities of people's lives get splashed on public media. There's a lot of talk today about the opioid crisis and how complex it is, and the different factors and situations that put young men and women into a sense of powerlessness, where they will take opioids to the point of taking their own life. And it's sad. And for sure, people need a lot of help. But the question Jesus asks the addict is the same question he asks the man at this pool. Do you want to get well? Because that is, in essence, the question. When you strip away the politics and you strip away the circumstances, what stands at the center of this equation is the individual's personal desire. Do you want to get well? Regardless of if you're addicted to opioids, marijuana, nicotine, or alcohol, the question is, what do you want to do with your life going forward? That's the question. The other big issue that we're hearing on the news is a Harvey Weinstein scandal. Mr. Weinstein made some horrible personal decisions, and I guarantee you, he will reap the consequences of his decisions. He will. But Harvey Weinstein is not our problem. Don't think that Harvey Weinstein is our problem. Because this same problem is going on in many corporate offices right now. It's going on in the military right now. It's going on in high schools. Their teachers having sex with their students right now. It's not just Harvey. The problem isn't Harvey. There's been numerous reports about inappropriate sexual behavior on college campuses, date rapes. I can go on and on and on. Harvey is just the tip of the iceberg. And we're not even beginning to talk about not just what goes on in the corporate office, but there are sexually inappropriate things happening in households with trusted family members. And some of us know exactly what I'm talking about. And the question is, if anybody is involved in this kind of behavior, do you want to get well? Or do you just want to kick the can down the road and think that it will sort itself out sometime in the future? If that's what you believe, you have been deceived by the devil. Because my Bible says that Satan, if you don't get a hold of it, it will grow and it will lead to death. And so maybe the reason why you're here this morning is because Jesus wants you to hear that question. Do you want to get well? Why does he ask that question? Because the answer depends completely on you. Not your government, not the activists, not what the doctor said or the psychiatrist said. You hold the key to your future. And no matter what has happened to you in your past, you have the power as a free moral agent to change your future. And that's what happened to this man. He broke free. It's one of the most incredible stories in the Bible. Imagine being in a situation for 38 years. And in one day, it just changes. Imagine if your marriage changed today. You're like, oh, it can't happen, man. I've been married to this dude for 6 months. But it's important for us to look at how this man changed. And the underlying factors that were involved. I put to you that what helped this man take on a new path in his life was how he responded to the Word of God. That's what I want to put before you. And you may go, oh, I don't really see that in the Scriptures. Give me a couple minutes to explain why I believe that was the key. Here is this man who for 38 years had been telling himself a particular narrative. What was that narrative? I'm in my situation because nobody's helping. Played that narrative as he sat there by that pool day in and day out. I'm in my situation because nobody's helping me. And that tape kept repeating in his mind for 38 years. You know, if you tell yourself something, it becomes truth to you. And this man was convinced that the reason why he was at that pool was because nobody was coming to help. And what Jesus does is he confronts his belief. He tells the man, get up. Now this is interesting. You got to pay careful attention here because Jesus doesn't touch him. He doesn't reach out and heal him. Nothing like that. He just tells the man, get up. And this guy decided, I'm going to stop believing the things I've been telling myself for 38 years, and I'm going to believe that I can get up. And it must have been a beautiful sight to see this man use his arms that he probably never used before to pick himself up. And suddenly, He's walking. He did that because he put his feelings aside. He took that narrative that he was playing, that record that he was playing, and he threw it off the record player, or the CD, or whatever you want to call it. He deleted that narrative, and he embraced Jesus and Jesus' authority for his life. He's basically saying, Jesus, if you think I can get up, I'm going to try it. That's what he's saying. He is surrendering and submitting to the authority of God. Beautiful story, isn't it? Doesn't it give you goosebumps? I want to tell you, it didn't have to end that way. He could have responded with cynicism. He could have said, get up, man. You didn't hear what I just said? Ain't nobody helping me here. He could have said that. You just come on the scene, man. You don't know my situation. You don't know me. You don't know my life. You're just talking to me for 2 minutes and telling me to get up. Boy, move on. He could have said that. Right? Could have said that. You don't know my life. You're not my friend. You don't know my history. Or he could have just responded in disbelief by saying, it's just, I'm not even going to try because it's been like this for 38 years. Thanks for your philosophical input, but I think I'm good here, Jesus. Complete disbelief. He wasn't cynical, and he didn't respond in disbelief. He said, okay, Lord, if that's what you say, that's what I'm going to do. That is complete surrender to Jesus. It's surrender. It's saying to Jesus, the path that I've chosen has kept me by this pool for 38 years. And you're giving me another destiny. And I'm going to grab onto it. That's what this man is saying. He takes his feelings off the throne. And in taking his feelings off the throne, this man's chains are broken. Because Christ's words have the power to break every chain. What prison are you in right now? What's your prison today? What do you feel powerless about? Is there something in your life that you feel cannot be changed? I'm here to tell you that Jesus can break every chain. Some of you are studying the Bible. And right there, when a man or woman starts studying the Bible, you are exposing your mind to the transformative power of the Word of God. And whenever you do a Bible study, you are asked to make a decision. That's how all these studies are. We got a series of 10 studies. After every study, isn't it right? You are asked to make a decision. You are asked to decide whether you are going to surrender to the authority of God's word or just go based on your feelings. It's amazing to me how some people, you study the Bible with them and you say, look, Jesus wants you to be a disciple. And then you start looking at your life going, I can't do this. I don't have the time to come to church. I don't got the time to read my Bible. And you're like, oh no, it's too much commitment. Right? It's too much commitment. I'd rather stay by the pool that I'm in. Some of you don't realize that you are the invalid at the pool. And God has sent people with the words of Jesus. And to me, if Jesus says you can be a disciple, you should say, show me how! If Jesus says you can live a life free from sexual sin, you should say, show me how! I'll do it! Don't go, oh, well, the guy I'm having sex with, he's so cute! And he helps me with the bills. Uh-oh! Uh-oh! Okay. He's so cute! I'll just stay by this pool for another 38 years until this guy has had his fill of me and moved on, and the next guy comes in. You see that cycle? What prison are you in today? I'm here to tell you, no matter how horrible you think your past has been, or even how despairing your current situation is, Jesus Christ offers a word of hope. He offers a word of change. He offers us a bright future. But before we can latch on to that hope and that future, we must resolve in our own hearts the question, do I want to get well? Amen.